This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 186, Nervous System Resilience on the Road. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. So the other day, my husband and I were talking about how different things that people do can give you different insights into them. Now, this is not scientific at all, but for example, we were in Italy not so long ago, and I was waiting to check out of the hotel, and the person in front was being so rude to the hotel worker. They were complaining about having to pay a city tax, and it really wasn't even that much. It was not the worker's fault, and it was not the hotel's fault either. Sure, it can be annoying, but what can you do? Well, this guy made such a scene. He ended up storming out, not paying, and then his wife had to step in and settle the bill. And I thought, poor her. I bet this is not the first time that she's experienced this. So it's just a little example, but the little things like that can give you an indicator of what is happening to somebody inside their nervous system. And then the other day, we were turning at a light and we were turning left and the light turned green, but there was somebody who was just coming through like a late yellow going straight. So we had to wait until the car went through, obviously, before we turned. Well, the person behind started honking. Literally, had we gone, we would have been hit. Now, maybe they didn't see that a car was going through, but it was not like we had been sitting there for a while. It literally had just turned green. So I said to my husband, I wonder what that guy is like in life. And so I decided to do a fun episode about driving, because don't you think your driving style can be a window into your nervous system, your mindset, and even your relationships? So again, this is not scientific. It's a little bit fun, but I think it can help us provide some insight into the nervous system. I do think that your driving style can mirror the state of your nervous system. And I'm going to give you some examples just so you can see what you can think. I'm going to share with you some driving profiles, I'll call them, and see if you can match them up to what the nervous system profile or landscape would be like. So drivers who are more aggressive, those who are frequently speeding and tailgating or even exhibit road rage, where do you think they are? Maybe they're honking all the time, they're weaving through traffic, getting frustrated with slower drivers. I'd say they're pretty much firmly in team hyper. Lots of energy, lots of adrenaline, maybe more in a fight state. That's probably where you do see road rage come up. Now, I will say that there's probably a culture in there too. I think when you go city to city, you see different cultures in driving. But I think the culture can be more reflective of the nervous system. For example, we were in New York City not so long ago, and people are honking and it's intense driving. I also know I grew up in Montreal, and Montrealers are very different drivers than Torontonians. I'll have to be careful what I say. I don't want to insult anybody, but in Montreal, there's more of a harried, pressured, intense environment. And I think it's easy to see how being in that environment can actually keep us in team hyper. That's what I mean by you can see the different cultures in driving and the different driving and cultures reflected in the nervous system. Now, if you see drivers who are maybe more erratic, there is, you know, the sudden stops or the variable speeds, unpredictable lane changes, where would you put them? I'd probably put them in team hyper as well. And then drivers who are more cautious, so who maybe drive more slowly, more carefully, sometimes to the point of hesitation. Maybe they double and triple check things, or they avoid high-speed roads. I think that they could also be in a state of dysregulation too. I see them as being more in a free state, more of a mixed hyper and hypo state, maybe feeling more of a paralysis with that hesitancy, But there's an element of hyper there too, that hesitation, the anxiety, the nervousness. It could be that they have been stuck in some chronic stress and maybe could be heading into burnout, which is more of a team hypo state. Or it could be that they have more chronic stress in their life. These are just ideas that I'm coming up with that will be reflected in their driving. Now, drivers who are more confident, where they feel good behind the wheel, they trust their judgment, they drive defensively, maybe they are law-abiding, so they stick to the road rules in general. I'm guessing they still do a little bit of speeding because we often need to go with the flow. And that involves going over some of the speed limits sometimes, at least in my experience. So these drivers are likely more grounded. Maybe they'll fall into that zone of resilience. Now, I want to be that driver, and I want to drive with that driver. So those are a few driver types. So talk about lumping people into categories, but this is my own opinion. And as I said, it's just for fun. I'm not saying that there is a rich background of literature on this, but I actually wouldn't be surprised if there was some research suggesting or supporting the link of the state of your nervous system, because I think it kind of makes sense. So that is what's going on with the nervous system. Let's think about what's going on with a bit of the mindset behind these types of drivers or the rather driving style. Obviously, we don't want to label somebody a certain way. We're all humans who have adapted in certain ways based on so many factors, including our nervous system. Those millions of imprints, our past experiences, the examples we have around us from our caregivers to everything like the city culture. So even our driving may have adapted like that. But if you are more aggressive in your driving and you're more rooted in team hyper, I want you to stop and think, what do you think your thoughts are going to be? What is your mindset going to be? And we can also look at what emotions may be involved. You may be more angry. This is unreal. The traffic is unbearable. I'm so mad that our city is congested, or that driver is an idiot. Look how slow they're going. Get out of the way. Or maybe you are driven by being in a rush. I need to get there. Why can't I go faster? Why can't they go faster? I'm going to find a way to go faster. I need to get there yesterday. And I think it would probably be pretty similar for erratic drivers. There's a certain intensity of emotions that will come out in the emotions as well as in the thoughts. Your thoughts are likely going to be very flavored with defensiveness, nuanced with danger. There's a pressure, a rush, maybe some ruminating, overthinking, even getting stuck. If you are a more cautious driver, then maybe your thoughts are going to be more flavored with anxiety and worry. Maybe there's a little bit of a panic. I can't do this. I hate this. Now, as I mentioned, I grew up in Quebec, and there can be some crazy driving. It is very fast paced. And one of the main highways that goes through the city is very, very tight. It kind of runs at the top of the city. And I used to have to take it to get to work. I had always avoided it, but then it became a necessity. And I truly hated it. I was not a confident driver. I was probably more anxious. And I remember the first few times, I would literally say prayers out loud. Or I'd say things like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. Especially if I was going beside a big truck. My thoughts were certainly ones of, I can't do this. Why do I have to do this? I'm scared. So really filled with fear and hesitation. Now, eventually, I learned that it was much more helpful to even fake being confident. What I didn't realize faking being confident meant was I was calming my nervous system through breathing and then some positive self-talk, which dramatically improved my emotions and my actions overall. Things like, you can totally do this, you're safe, you just keep going the speed, just stay focused ahead. Those were all thoughts that actually provided me with a lot of safety. Now, confident drivers, because confident drivers are often calmer and they're probably more likely in the zone of resilience, they can turn to thoughts more easily that are more helpful or create more helpful thoughts. Things like, I know I can do this, or even more rational thoughts like, this is just a road, the same as any other road, except it's a bit tighter or bigger or there's more room. So we can access these kinds of thoughts when we're in calm. So starting with the nervous system. Breathing, grounding, relaxing your body is so important even before we try to change our thoughts. This is true in life and it's true in our driving. So confident drivers are also probably thinking thoughts that are more tolerant and help them stay more patient. Things like, there's no rush. We're all going to get there around the same time. It's not worth getting all hyper and frustrated about it. It's better to be safe. When my kids were younger, I used to use the expression, find explanations in charity, to encourage them to seek out the good first and give people the benefit of the doubt. And so what happened was if they saw me get frustrated with somebody in traffic, they would joke and they would say, "Mom, maybe they're going so fast or cutting you off because they're racing to the hospital because their parent is sick or their partner is having a baby." So find explanations in charity. I should add here that there's another category of team resilience drivers, of considerate drivers. Now, these are the ones that I would classify as them going the speed limit within reason. They stop at crosswalks to let pedestrians go across. They are the ones who let people merge, who are not trying to drag race you at a light. So quick story, I met my husband online. I can't say meeting somebody online was super popular back then. It was just sort of starting up. But actually in my profile, one of the things I wrote is I said, I wanted someone who used their blinkers because that to me showed consideration. I actually think it does show the mindset. I recognize that other people count too. It's not all about me. And I am secure and okay enough to let people go in front of me. There's a generosity of spirit there, I think. I think your driving style can also offer some insight into your interpersonal relationships. Now, of course, I'm totally generalizing here again, but hear me out. Maybe if you are aggressive and dominant driver, aggressively changing lanes, rarely yielding for others, honking frequently, maybe you carry that style into your relationship and you want to check that out. Are you a little bit more controlling? Maybe you prefer to take charge and could be less tolerant of other people's mistakes. If you find yourself more cooperative on the road, like those who readily give way, allowing people to merge, showing patience in traffic, maybe that can suggest more cooperation and more empathy in your interactions. Now, what about drivers who like being solo when they drive, or ones that would prefer not to carpool? Because we can consider them to maybe value their independence and solitude. I know that for me, I used to drive every single week and upwards of 20 hours a week because I used to go see my clients in their homes and their workplaces. And often they were like an hour to an hour and a half away. So I had lots of time on my own, but I loved it. It gave me time. I'd think, or I'd listen to music or podcasts or audiobooks, or I'd call my mom or call a friend. And it allowed me that alone time, which I think was very nourishing. Quite honestly, that is the part of the driving that I miss now that I'm virtual. It was actually also a time that I used to deliberately practice my regulation. I would be doing lots of breathing techniques, relaxing my body, using music to help me regulate. So driving can also serve that function of giving you some me time and alone time. Which leads me to the last part of what I want to talk about today. How can you modify your driving style to help you cultivate a calmer, more resilient you? I'm going to give you a couple of tips. Firstly, practice mindfulness. You can actually incorporate mindfulness techniques when you're driving, just like I mentioned I did. You can focus on your breath. You can get really in the present and even observe your surroundings without judgment. And this can help reduce stress and enhance your overall driving experience. You can slow down. I just did a whole podcast episode on this, so go back to listen. But overall, slowing it all down, even practically, allowing yourself extra time to reach your destination, driving at a slower, more controlled pace can reduce anxiety and promote a sense of calm. And you can put on Slow It Down by the Lumineers on your playlist as you're listening to help you slow down. Also, listening to calming music or podcasts. So speaking of playlists, create a playlist that soothes and uplifts you. Listening to music can really impact your mood and help you be either in whatever zone you're in, so helping you accept your zone, or helping you get to whatever zone you want to get to. So you can either add energy or reduce energy or maintain energy through music. Next, you can engage in deep breathing. I'm bringing this one up again. I used to do this a lot in the car. It is super helpful if you're feeling stressed or angry while driving. So practice these breathing exercises. You can do it too if you notice maybe you have some tension in your back or neck. I used to get stomach aches because I was anxious while driving. So breathing can help you take care of all of that. Setting positive intentions is another thing you can do. Before starting out on your drive, set a positive intention, such as arriving safely, or enjoying the journey. This can really shift your mindset from stress to gratitude. So setting intentions of what will happen if you hit traffic, all it means is you're going to have some extra me time, more time to listen to music or to finish off that book. And this reframe can be so helpful. And lastly, I want to encourage you to reflect on your reactions. After driving, take a moment to reflect on your emotional responses. Pay attention to the things that trigger you. Pay attention to what they feel like in your body. Because understanding your triggers can help you develop strategies to manage them better and help you anticipate things and decide ahead of time how you're going to react. All right, overall, I do kind of think you can learn a lot from your driving style and a lot about other people. Now, it's not set in stone, but I do think you can gain insight into your own nervous system, mindset, and even your relationships by becoming more aware of your driving patterns and making conscious adjustments. You can enhance not only your driving experience, but your overall well-being. So I hope you enjoyed that one. Hope you're going to be checking out what your driving style is, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.